This is Marketplace Money from APM. I'm Barbara Bogave. It is so nice to be with you today. But to be completely honest, I was dreading it a little. Because today's show is all about the conversations that make you squirm. Like when your sister has to borrow money. Or you have to suggest to your parents that they sell their house to pay for retirement. Or figuring out, can we afford to have kids? So what's the most difficult conversation you've ever had with a loved one about money?
My name is Chuck Kushla. It was the week before I was about to leave for college, and I had kept a summer job, and I was supposed to be saving all of my money for school, and I didn't save any of it. And so the hardest conversation I had was when my mom took me to the bank to pick up all of my savings, and then there wasn't any. And so I had to ask her for money then. And I would have to say we probably had that conversation a few more times.
And that's the thing about those money conversations. Like Chuck just said, they're an ongoing ordeal. And most people would do anything they can to avoid talking about money with their relatives. But that wasn't my experience growing up, to be honest. My father was fixated on money. He was also a big fan of aphorisms. One of his favorites was, "People don't plan to fail, they fail to plan." And he planned. He planned ahead so thoroughly that we kids didn't have to do that much when our parents got older. But talking to your parents about their finances and their planning for retirement and beyond is a very important conversation. It can also be a very delicate one. And we're going to start our show with that today. Tara Siegel Bernard is a personal finance reporter with the New York Times. Welcome, Tara.
Nice to be here.
Well, there never seems to be a good time to talk about money with family. So when should you first initiate this conversation with your parents?
The sooner the better, because nobody knows how much time they have. And, you know, I recently spoke with a family that thought they had plenty of time, and then their mother died unexpectedly. They didn't know that their mother had a mortgage. And once they figured out that she did have a mortgage, it was already in default. It's always better to start as soon as you can. Not everybody's willing to talk about it or have that money conversation because it is such an emotional topic.
Well, it seems as if how you phrase things is the most important thing. What advice can you give us on how this topic can best be approached?
Sure. Well, you don't want to put anybody on the defensive. You know, don't say, you know, you're disorganized, you're going to make this so difficult for me. You want to kind of spin that around and use I statements like, you know, I'm really concerned about doing the right thing. How can we approach this together? Another idea is if they don't want to talk to you, the child, about their financial situation, you know, you might suggest tagging along to their, you know, trusted accountant's office the next time they go to do their taxes, just to kind of get a feel for where things are and how, you know, organized they really are. Or maybe you suggest tagging along to a visit to their financial planner. That's another idea.
What if your parents just balk at the idea completely, or they think it's none of your business?
Right. And a lot of people do think it's none of their children's business. There's also kind of a power dynamic going on. You don't want to – it's kind of like, you know, handing over the keys to your car once you reach a certain point and can no longer drive. It's kind of, you know, ceding control another aspect of your life. And people might not want to do that. So one of the families that I interviewed a few months ago was talking about how, you know, they didn't have – the cash on hand to keep the estate going. If you want to, you know, take care of that in advance, there's a variety of things that you can set up. You might not want to give your children access to your bank accounts right away, but you can set them up in such a way that, you know, after the second spouse dies or after the parent dies, it's a payable on death account. So, you know, it would go to the child. That's one way to kind of just have a little pot of cash to, you know, keep the mortgage going, to pay the bills, or do, you know, whatever needs to be taken care of.
So that's something parents can do proactively to make the whole process easier for their kids.
Right, exactly.
And here's a really practical question. Just getting together all the paperwork can be so hard after your parents die. Where should people store their paperwork, and what paper should they organize so that their kids can easily access it?
I've been told that keeping things in a safe deposit box, that's the first place where people would think, oh, we'll just put it all in the safety deposit box and it'll be safe. But everybody that I spoke to, all the legal experts, elder care attorneys, said that's probably the worst place to store it. Because when you think about it, there's no inherent value to the actual pieces of paper. Once the parent is no longer there to open up the box, it can get really complicated, and it could take a really long time to get into that safe deposit box. So what you want to do is get what's called a strong box, or some sort of fireproof box that you could put in your house in a safe place. But it's the kind of thing where you can lock it, give your child the key, put the key in a place where they know where to find it, and then they don't have to worry about getting into the bank and into the safe deposit box.
Tara, have you talked with your parents?
You know, they've they have approached me. They're pretty.
And then they're those.
Yes, exactly. They're like, we know that your one sister is just going to be a mess, and so we're going to tell you exactly what we want. But I think the hard work is done. And they're pretty organized about having their passwords in one place and whatnot. But there's still, it's not one conversation. Nobody wants to talk about this kind of stuff. You might do a little bit at a time, but yeah, in my case, there's still some issues that need to be ironed out.
Tara Siegel Bernard is a personal finance reporter with the New York Times, and it was great talking with you. Thank you.
Great talking with you too. Thanks so much for having me.